For by wise guidance you can wage your war, and in abundance of counselors there is victory. Proverbs 24:6. I am Rob West. The Bible teaches that we should seek out wise counsel for answers to questions. Today I'll be asking some tough financial questions, and Howard Dayton will give us his answers, all based on God's Word. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our friend Howard Dayton joins us again today. He's the author of Your Money Counts and the brand new book, Charting Your Legacy. He's also the former host of this program and one of the wisest men I know, and I mean that. Howard, welcome back.
Well, that's very kind of you, brother, and great to be with you, Rob.
Always delighted to have you, Howard. Okay, we've got a list of questions that I know you've been asked over the years, Howard. So let's dive right in. We're going to start with taxes. What is God's perspective, according to his word, Howard, on paying taxes?
Well, just think of the question that the Pharisees asked Jesus, you know, is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And Jesus said, show me a Roman coin whose head and inscription does it have? They responded, Caesar's. And he said to them, then give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's.
Yeah.
And a lot of folks rationalize not paying taxes because the government squanders so much money. Now, I'm not condoning government waste. In fact, I believe a citizen should try to influence the government to be more efficient. However, the Bible tells us to pay the taxes we legally owe. I have a close friend who likes to say, I pay my taxes with integrity and joy. What a great combination.
Well, that's exactly right, because taxes are symptomatic of God's provision. All right, how about this one, Howard? How does the Bible define financial success?
You know, Scripture tells us financial success is simply being a faithful steward. Most people measure success by how much wealth somebody piles up.
Yeah.
But Christians should not assume that somebody is successful just by outward appearances. If we had seen Joseph or Paul in prison or Daniel in the lion's den or Job in his affliction, how many of us would have considered them successful? According to the Scripture, our responsibility is to become faithful stewards. After we have fulfilled that responsibility, it's up to God to decide whether or not to entrust us with a lot or a little.
I love that. Faithful, being obedient over a long period of time. All right, let's follow up on that then, Howard. Is it permissible for a Christian to be ambitious?
Yes, Scripture doesn't condemn ambition. Paul was ambitious. In 2 Corinthians 5, he says, we have as our ambition to be pleasing to him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be rewarded for his deeds. But the Bible strongly condemns selfish ambition. Romans 2 says that the Lord will render to each man according to his deeds, to those who are selfishly ambitious, wrath and indignation. So our ambition shouldn't be motivated by ego. It should be to please Christ. We should have a burning desire to become increasingly faithful stewards in using the possessions and skills that he's entrusted to us, Rob.
Oh, that's so good, Howard. All right, time for one quick one. And this is something a lot of people wonder about. Why do the wicked prosper, Howard, in your view?
God's people have asked that question for centuries, Rob.
Yeah.
The prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 12 said, why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all the faithless live at ease? You know, the Bible tells us that some of the wicked will prosper, but it says not to worry about it. In Psalm 37, we find, do not fret because of evil men or the envious of those who do wrong, for like grass, they will soon wither.
Howard, just about 30 seconds left. Let's go back to what you said a moment ago. You talked about the importance of being faithful. What's the fruit of that in your view as someone lives as a faithful steward?
Well, if a person who lives as a faithful steward is Christ-centered and they're handling their money in a way that pleases the Lord, they're handling their life in a way that pleases the Lord, Rob. And the byproduct of that is that they do draw closer to the Lord himself.
And that's what we all are looking for. Howard, grateful for you, my friend. Thanks for stopping by.
My pleasure, Rob. Loved it.
Tough questions today answered by Howard Dayton, drawing from the Council of Scripture. Howard is the author of the book Your Money Counts and the new Charting Your Legacy. Pick it up where you buy books. Your calls are next, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. When was the last time you smelled fresh baked bread? It's an amazing experience, isn't it? Maybe you can feel the warmth of the oven heating the room. You see the utensils and the containers of ingredients spread around the kitchen. One of the employees at Haven grew up in a town where the Sara Lee Company had a bread factory. You couldn't go across town in the afternoon without getting hungry. And we need food, don't we? Without daily sustenance, we grow weak and weaker. And God knows that, which is why Christ tells us to pray, "Give us today our daily bread." God wants us to ask Him for the necessities of life. He's powerful enough to hear us, good enough to provide for us. Grow in your walk with Christ. Visit GetAnchored.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is a unique moment in the history of our country where we have an opportunity to restore the foundations of this nation.
Tony Perkins of Washington Watch.
To a nation that once again honors God. It will not happen unless God's people are informed and engaged.
Join Tony Perkins for Washington Watch. Weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evening at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
We're delighted to have you today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. It's time to take your calls and questions on anything financial. What are you thinking about today? Let's talk about it. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000 with whatever you're thinking about in your financial life today. Hey, before we dive into some phone calls and perhaps a few emails today, we're partnering with the Institute for Christian Financial Health here at FaithFi to really build out and expand our coach offering. Now, you hear us talk a lot about certified Kingdom advisors, and that's really critical for those of you who need professional financial advice, financial planning, investment management, estate planning, insurance, and taxes. That's critical. But what if you need a financial coach to help you work through finances in marriage, or you need someone to help you navigate your spending plan or go a little bit deeper in helping you with just accountability and achieving some of your goals that doesn't rise yet to the level of a professional need? Well, we're going to be in the coming months expanding what we're making available to you in the way of Christian financial counselors and coaches.
And we're doing that in partnership with the Institute for Christian Financial Health. Now, the director of the Institute, Art Rayner, our good friend and contributor here at FaithFi, is hosting a free 20-minute webinar on Monday that I think you should consider if you're somebody that wants to be or you already are a financial or stewardship coach. Maybe you're serving in your local church or helping people in your community, or maybe you're doing that online just as a part of your ministry. You love finances and you understand God's way of handling money and you've been coaching people for a while. Well, in this 20-minute free webinar, Art is going to unpack a discovery session. He'll actually share with you his discovery session, that intake session when you first meet with and begin working with a counselee as a financial or stewardship coach. If you'd like to register for that free 20-minute webinar and get or hear Art's discovery session and how he goes about that process, or learn more about the CCFC, the Certified Christian Financial Coach Certification, just head to our website, faithfi.com/CCFC. That's faithfi.com/CCFC and reserve your spot today. All right, let's take some questions today on the broadcast. Again, lines are open. Our team is standing by. We'd love to hear from you with whatever you're thinking about, helping you to apply biblical wisdom and principles to whatever financial decisions and choices you're thinking about. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. And give us a call right now. We're going to begin today in Illinois. Hi, Rose. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. My question, I'm 58 and I'm debt-free. I have $650 in my 401k and I'm still contributing and still working. I'm also maxing my Roth. I have $127,000 there and I have about $230 in a Schwab and Vanguard account. And I right now I have about $150 that I could invest more cash wise, but and so I'm kind of like, I've been hearing you talk about the end, you know, what is the end goal, or like when do you stop,
how much is enough, sure,
accumulating. Mm-hmm. And then so I'm thinking about going through the SMI private client.
Mm-hmm.
So this is another question, is because the CKA, I just found out that they are not CKAs.
Mm-hmm.
This is SMI.
Yeah, sure. They're a trusted organization, and they could serve you very well. Or you could go to a certified Kingdom advisor.
Hello?
I would feel very good about both. Yes, are you hearing me, Rose? Rose, can you still hear me? All right. Let me try. It sounds like Rose is not able to hear me, but let me just react to what she shared, and perhaps we can get her this audio if she's not hearing the response. At 58 years old and debt-free with about, it sounds like, $1 million in investable assets, Rose, I would say, first of all, congratulations, you're doing great. In terms of defining enough, I love that idea of establishing a financial finish line, which just simply says, how much am I trying to accumulate and for what purpose? Because you remember, the Bible is pretty clear. We shouldn't just be building bigger barns for the sake of building our wealth. Just this idea of endless accumulation is not supported in Scripture. We should be rich toward God, right? First and foremost. So we should handle God's resources in a way that demonstrates that God is our true treasure and not our things or our money. At the same time, we see that we're clearly to be saving, taking a portion of what God entrusts to us today and setting it aside for tomorrow. The question is, how much is enough? What is that right finish line for each of us? And I can't tell you that. It's not clear in Scripture exactly what, you know, that amount is. And so that means we have to be on our knees wrestling through the tension of saying, God, what's right for me? What are you calling me to in my life? You know, he asked the rich young ruler to sell everything and follow him, and he celebrated what the widow did. But I don't think for all of us he's asking us to just give everything away and live a life of poverty. I think we need to live in that tension. And there's something that happens to us spiritually as we wrestle through that and ask God that question and work to answer it. So what is an appropriate amount? Well, we could look at this from a purely financial standpoint as a starting point, just to say, okay, if the lifestyle you're living right now is one that you believe God has called you to, it's what you've prayed through and you've decided, yeah, this is appropriate for me, then we can answer the question, okay, what assets are needed to support that lifestyle in retirement? So I'm no longer working. God has redirected me to unpaid work. I'm serving him in a different capacity in this season of life, or maybe I'm unable to work. And at that point, I say, okay, if I want to maintain this lifestyle, what is it going to take? Well, typically, you'll see a rule of thumb is to have 10 to 12 times your salary in retirement. The reason for that is, let's say, you know, somebody was making $60,000, and let's say they're going to live on that 80% of that in retirement, which is not uncommon, so they need $48,000. Well, if they have, you know, that same $60,000 and they have 10 times that, that means they have $600,000 saved up. At 4%, that's going to throw off $24,000 a year. Okay. Now you'd say, well, Rob, that's only half of that number, that $48,000 you said it was going to take for them to live on. That's right, because we would expect that the other half would come from Social Security. So the idea here is, if we have 10 or perhaps 12 times our income saved up at a 4% withdrawal rate, that plus Social Security should be able to fund and allow us to maintain our lifestyle in retirement at about 80% of our pre-retirement income, and never impact that principle. Now, in any given year or couple of years, like we've had last year and this year, perhaps the market could be down and your portfolio could be down. But over a 5 and 10 year period, you should be able to sustain that 4% withdrawal rate and have the principal remain the same, which means you're never going to run out of money, which means you could give away more during your lifetime, or at the very least, you'd have a pretty sizable nest egg to leave for an inheritance or to give away to ministry or both. And so that's part of the rationale of saying, okay, let's start with the lifestyle that God has called us to, and then let's answer the question, how much is enough to maintain that lifestyle? Now, that doesn't mean we know that nothing's going to come out of left field. It's going to cost a whole lot more. And ultimately, that's where our trust has to be in the Lord, not in our things, because he is our provider. His provision is more complete, and his care for us is ultimately complete. So that's where our trust needs to lie. I hope that's helpful to you, Rose. Thanks for calling today and being a part of the program. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We're going to take a quick break and back with your questions right after this. Stay with us.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from LightPoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LightPoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at lightpointportfolios.com.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
Oh, we use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org.
chministries.org.
Here at the AFA Foundation, we help families just like yours shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Chelsea Wildman.
We would love to work with you to see if a charitable gift annuity is right for your situation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Why not reach out to the AFA Foundation team today?
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. Is there a financial question that's kind of been rolling around in your mind? How do I proceed in this area or that? What about college savings or retirement? How do I deal with that credit score that just seems to be lower than I want it to be? Or how do I get out of debt once and for all? That and anything else that's on your mind today, we'd love to tackle it with you. And the number to call to do just that is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Our team is standing by and we'd love to get you on the air quickly. Hey, a quick thank you to those of you who participated in our pre-born ministry campaign to fund 4,000 ultrasounds for moms considering abortion so that they have the opportunity to choose life. We had an incredibly successful campaign, and that was because of your generous support, getting on board with us and saying, yes, I want to take one of those 4,000 ultrasounds. I'm happy to report we had a great response, and we just want to say thanks for jumping on board. Every time we have one of these campaigns, you respond in kind, and we are so very grateful. All right, again, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We're going to be heading back to the phones in a moment. First, an email from Alberto. He writes, I have two credit cards with a total balance of about $2,500. Would it be smart to get a personal loan to pay off both cards? My payments would be much less. Can you tell me if that's a smart move? Thank you. Alberto, unfortunately, no. I'm going to advise against this, and here's why. You could end up doubling that debt, and the reason is that oftentimes, and I've done this long enough to see this, Alberto, you're just going to have to trust me, is that if we treat the symptom is we've got a high payment, it's putting a squeeze on your family finances, and so we want to get the personal loan to try to get that payment down. That's going to treat the symptom. The real problem is overspending, spending beyond your means. So you need to deal with that first, which means I've got to get a spending plan that balances. I've got to, you know, live within God's provision. I've got to have an emergency fund that's going to take care of the unexpected so I don't have to fall back on the credit cards when the unexpected comes. And even though the interest rate may be lower on that personal loan, the fact that that payment is lower means it's going to be repaid over a longer period of time as well. So what should you do? Well, I'm going to give you two approaches. One would be for someone who has over $4,000 in debt. The other is for someone under $4,000. Now, given that you have $2,500, I'd love for you to consider using what we call the snowball method, which is essentially where you start with the budget. Look for any area to cut back and put everything on the table except, you know, keeping the roof over your head, keeping the utilities on, food on the table, and gas in the car. Everything else is negotiable. And let's look for ways to cut back so we can free up margin. That is something left over at the end of the month. And when we line up those cards, smallest to largest balance, we're going to pay the minimum payment on all of them. We want to keep them current, but we're going to take every available dollar in our surplus and attack the balance that's the smallest. Why would we do that? Irrespective of the interest rate. The reason is when you pay that off, let's say it's $300 and you find $100 a month and 3 months later it's gone, that's going to give you the encouragement to keep going. And the studies say that when we do it that way, we actually have a much higher degree of success in terms of continuing down the line to ultimately get those paid off, okay? So I want you to start with your budget. I want to make sure you have at least $1,500 in emergency savings, and then let's snowball that debt. Don't take out that personal loan. I just have gotten that call too many times of people that say, Rob, you know, I talked to you 6 months ago. You told me not to get the personal loan. I did. Guess what? The credit card debt's back, and now I have the personal loan on top of it. I don't want that for you, Alberto. Hey, let us know how that goes. By the way, if you have a question you'd like read on the air, send it along. Ask Rob at faithfi.com. That's AskRob at faithfi.com. All right, let's head to the phones today. What are your questions, financially speaking? 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to Texas. Hi, Belinda. Go right ahead.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, we bought a home in 2021, and my husband is currently he bought a portable sawmill. He has a regular job, and he has a portable sawmill that's kind of growing, but, you know, it'll take a few years for it to become, I guess, a main income source. So the question is, we need more land. We have about a quarter of an acre. We have 3 to 6 months of emergency savings. The housing market doesn't look good. We were wondering, is it better to keep our house and just buy land separately right now, or do we find a home with about 2 acres on it, even though I don't know. I know that's kind of vague, but.
Yeah, no, that's okay. What is the side job again?
A portable sawmill.
Okay, a portable sawmill. Yeah.
Yeah. Turns logs into, you know, slabs.
Yes, got it. Yeah, that makes sense. And is the expansion in land from a quarter acre to your goal of having roughly 2 acres, is that a part of the business, or is that just you all would like a little more space?
Part of the business, primarily.
Okay.
Even though we would like space, but the motivation is more toward that for. Thinking of the option.
Okay. So if you have this bigger parcel of land, that will help to grow the business and bring in more income. Is that what you're expecting?
Yes. And not having to rent, say, a building at an industrial park.
Got it.
Or, yeah, something like that.
Very good. Yeah, you know, a couple of things going on here. Number one is, how quickly do we expand a side business? I love that he's doing it on the side, even though that's going to take more time, and we've got to monitor availability for family. I like the idea that, you know, he's got his base of income, so you all aren't putting your family finances in jeopardy. Let's do this. I'm going to ask you to hold the line because we've got to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll talk about how to think about how rapidly you'd expand, how much additional overhead you want to take on, but also just whether or not this is a good time to sell that house. Phone lines are open, 800-525-7000. Back with Belinda and Danny and perhaps your question right after this. Stay with us.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
At Faith and Finance, we're on a mission to educate, equip, and connect you and many others with the powerful financial answers found in God's Word. We're working to meet people right where they are through national radio programs, our app, website, and other resources. If you've benefited from this program, would you consider becoming a monthly Faith and Finance patron? Check out all of the benefits of a Faith and Finance patron's membership at faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Taking your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. We've got two lines open. We'd love to hear from you today. Just before the break, we were talking to Belinda, and she and her husband, he's recently started a side job as a portable sawmill. It's going well, generating some income. They'd like to expand because they'd love a little more space, going from an acre to 2 acres, but it would also help in terms of operating the business. Just wondering, would it be better to buy that land separately, or should they sell their home now in this housing market and actually buy a piece of land that would have their new residence plus the additional acreage? So a couple of things going on here, Belinda. I would say, first of all, with building material prices still very high, this type of business can be a great source of income. You'd always want to have a business plan to make sure you know kind of where you're going. What is it going to take for you to make this business successful, so it's not putting actually a strain on your family finances? So, you know, in this case, do you have a plan for where the raw timber would come from for the portable sawmill? How are you going to transport it and store it so it dries properly? And how long is that going to take? And do you have any prospective buyers lined up, like general contractors? You want to have all these questions answered before you expand the business, especially with a large purchase like, adding more acreage. But if you've thought through all of that and you all have the financial means to support it, in terms of whether or not this is a good time to sell, it actually is a fairly good time to sell your current residence. And here's why. Number one, housing prices are still very high at the very high end of this range that we've seen housing prices grow to over the last decade, significant. But we've moved from a seller's market to a buyer's market because we have seen a softening. Inventories are rising. The number of days on the market on average is growing. The average home is selling for about 97% of asking versus 100+%. So, you know, we were seeing premiums paid over and above asking price. That's gone. Now folks are considering concessions and even contingencies. So I think the environment is right, but housing prices are still high, which means you could get still top dollar for your house and, you know, make a good purchase going in with it being more of a buyer's market, giving you a little more flexibility. So I think the timing is right. The key then is, number one, can you support this financially, this added expense if you're taking on a bigger mortgage? And number two, Will the business support it, or are you a little premature in this kind of expansion, which would be a major additional expense? So I would think and pray through all of that, both from the business side and the personal side. But in terms of answering the question, is this a decent time, if all those things check out, to sell the house, I would say yes, it is, if you can find the right thing. Thanks for calling, Belinda. 800-525-7000 is the number to call to Tennessee. Hi, Danny. Go right ahead, sir. Danny?
Yes, sir.
Great. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, my question is about an annuity for retirement versus a systemic withdrawal.
Yes. Yeah. So basically, where you would fund an annuity, either an immediate annuity or a variable annuity that you would annuitize at some point and convert that to an income stream, as opposed to having your capital invested and then just taking a withdrawal. Are you trying to compare the two?
Well, yeah, I'm looking at retirement, my main concern is making sure I have funds available for my wife should I predecease her.
Yes.
And, I can go into retirement and things financially, everything would just be wonderful. But if I predecease her, then it would significantly go down, because my pension that I have, she wouldn't get.
Yes. Yes.
So that's my concern. And, I do have money set aside. And as I'm looking, it appears as though an annuity would provide more income for I just wasn't sure if that's the smart way to go.
Yeah. So outside of your retirement plan, your pension, which, as you said, would only last through your life, what have you accumulated in retirement assets?
Not much, just about $275,000.
Okay. And how close are you to retirement?
A few years out.
Okay.
Probably.
Yeah. All right. And so between her Social Security or a spousal benefit, if your pension were to go away, what would be the gap in her being able to meet her expenses? How much would she be short per month that you're trying to make up through this, either an annuity or growing this $250,000?
I would, 35 to 38,000
a year.
Yes.
Okay. So, she's looking for, so if you were to take just that $250,000, let's say that grows to, with the market and additional contributions, $300,000, and we were to take that and pull 4% a year, that would only be $12,000 a year that we would get out of that. So obviously that would be, quite a bit short. I think the question is, what can you do between now and then to build that up? Because whether you buy, invest in an annuity that you would then annuitize for her to have an income stream in retirement, or you were to pull that yourself, in either case, you're going to need more in the way of assets to generate $36,000 a year without depleting whatever that is. If you want to try to maintain the principal balance, you would need to get that up closer to $1 million. So I think the key would be, do you get a whole life policy, or do you focus on really just trying to build your assets between now and retirement, maybe even working part-time in retirement, so that if your pension were to go away, there is a plan that's been thought out that would either allow her to have the assets that she could, pull from on a monthly basis while invested to generate that $36,000 a year, or do you have an insurance product? But even then, you're going to have to put in quite a bit more than $250,000 to generate the $36,000 a year that she needs. Does that make sense?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And and we're working on that as far as increasing that, monthly.
Yeah.
About $2,000 a month right now going in. And
so, okay. Well, that's great. So I think that's the key. Now, in terms of which one to go with, my preference would be just to invest that and keep it outside of an insurance product, because number one, you have more access to the money. You don't have surrender charges and penalties if you needed, or she needed to get to the money for major long-term care expense or something like that. But you could still invest it conservatively such that it would throw off the income she needs to be able to supplement her income. Hopefully you're in good health, the Lord tarries, and you guys have a long time together where you're enjoying living on, you know, your pension plus Social Security, and therefore we can just let this continue to grow, you know, maybe for the next couple of decades until she would need to then convert it. But if you'd rather transfer that risk to an insurance company and know that I don't have to think about, or she doesn't have to think about the market, and we can just annuitize this and she just gets this income stream for life, that's certainly an option. It's just not my first choice. Does that make sense?
No, and it makes sense. And I'm too old to go out after whole life insurance, you know. And so insurance was not a consideration.
That would not be my first choice as well. So I think you've got a good plan here. I think the idea here, Danny, moving forward is just to keep your lifestyle in check, start putting as much or continue putting as much away as you can each month, build that over time. And if you need an advisor to help you with that, you could find a certified Kingdom advisor in your area at our website, faithfi.com. Just click find a CKA. Back with more questions after this. Stay with us.
You've got Christians who love Jesus and they have kids and they're just like, I just don't know what my calling is.
Right.
Will and Mickey Addison.
What is it that Jesus wants me to do? I feel like I'm a teacher.
And that's that's why when you go to the scripture to talk about equipping the saints for work of ministry,
come on,
you should look inside first. It can
exactly
be right, you know, at your address.
Marriage, family, and the church. That's the focus of Airing the Addisons, weekday afternoons at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
45,000. That's how many times Faith and Finance referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. This is where we apply the wisdom from the Bible to our financial decisions and choices. We recognize God owns it all. That's critical. It changes everything in terms of how we manage money because we then accept our role as steward or manager of the King of Kings resources. So we have to know his heart to manage his money, which is why we go back to scripture. And then money becomes a tool to accomplish God's purposes. So we can slay that money idol in our lives, allow God to be in first position and allow money to be a support to accomplish all that he has for us while we're here. And when we approach it that way, it really does change everything about not only our financial lives, but really, I think there's a spillover effect into our spiritual lives. Thanks for being along with us today. Let's head back to the phones. Tennessee. Hi, Leah. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi. My question is, I have a retirement account with an extra amount of money along with this in a private investor's office. Okay. This person has actually kind of crossed some ethical boundaries, and I don't feel comfortable with my money there in his facility anymore.
Yes, ma'am.
Can I move that retirement account with the extra money that is sitting there as cash available to me whenever I need to use it to a different situation where I can manage the money myself until I find someone that I feel comfortable with helping me make investments?
Yeah, very good. Leah, what type of account is this? Is it an IRA?
It's an LPL.
Okay. But what type of account? So LPL would be the custodian. Are these taxable accounts or is this a retirement account?
It's a retirement account.
Okay, very good. Yeah, so you absolutely, what I would do is call the advisor. I'm not sure. I don't think LPL, and I could be wrong on this, I don't think LPL has a retail side like Charles Schwab or Fidelity where you can manage it yourself. I think if it's at LPL, it's going to have to be with an advisor. And if you're not yet ready to select that next advisor, I think you'd either have to say, listen, I just want you to, you know, move this to cash, or I just want you to freeze, you know, your work on it and don't make any changes and let them know that you're going to be making a change and then just move, you know, relatively quickly to try to find that next advisor and then you'd transfer it out. The other approach would be to transfer it to one of the brokerages that does allow you to, you know, handle it directly, but also would be more typical in terms of the custodians that investment advisors work with. So Fidelity or Schwab would be two great examples of where, you know, just about every registered investment advisor will have access to those two platforms. And so if you start on the retail side where you're managing it yourself, it would be an easy transfer over to, you know, the side of Fidelity or Schwab where an advisor that you select could manage it. What are you wanting to do in the meantime? Are you wanting to make some changes or are you just wanting this advisor to stop managing it for you?
Yes, I want to move all of this money, what's in the retirement account and what's sitting there as cash,
yeah,
into possibly just a bank with an advisor at a bank temporarily. I just want to move it all out of his hands to just, I've got that cash sitting there.
Yeah.
And it's not a ton of money. It adds up to about $112,000.
Sure.
But it's all I have to work with.
Yeah.
So when you don't feel like you feel safe with this person that has crossed some boundaries, I just kind of want to move that money away and get it someplace where I feel like it's safe.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense to me. I certainly understand where you're coming from. I might suggest, because if you move it to the bank, you're definitely going to have to move it back out. I would typically not recommend you just have the local bank investment person manage it. So I'd prefer you move it to either Fidelity or Schwab. You would have complete control over, you know, all of the assets in these accounts once it gets there to move to cash or government money market or, you know, whatever you want to do, or just leave it right in the things that he's put it in. But now it's out of his oversight. And then I would move toward finding that next advisor. If you don't already have somebody in mind, you could head to our website, faithfi.com, and click Find a CKA. We trust the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation here at FaithFi. And these are men and women who've met high standards, pastor references and client references, and they've been trained to bring biblical advice, and they've met a code of ethics and really high standards in character and competence. And you could interview two or three of those CKAs you find on the website and find the one that's the best fit. But you certainly could move it to a bank. You just, you know, open that account and then let your advisor know, and then they would transfer it out electronically, and the investments wouldn't even have to be sold as long as they can be sold at the or held at the receiving institution. But I would probably consider a Fidelity or a Schwab, and the reason is you may find that when you select this next advisor, it's not going to require yet another transfer. It could just stay right within those institutions. Does that make sense?
Okay, and yes, it does. And one more question. When I get to the point where I'm going to move these funds out of this investment firm's hands, am I going to be charged a penalty? And how much would that be?
You should. I mean, are you in stocks and bonds and mutual funds? Is that what you're invested in?
No.
What does he have you in?
Just a retirement account.
Okay. Yeah, but inside the retirement account, what are the investments in it? Do you know? What categories?
You know what? I don't even really know.
Okay. All right.
He's not shared a whole lot of information. He's not been very helpful. And that's another reason for me to feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, there may be a small fee, Leah, but it shouldn't be much. I mean, it might be a $50 transfer fee or something like that, but there shouldn't be any kind of penalties or anything like that. This happens every day, and this account will just move from one institution to another using what's called the ACAT system, which is kind of the back office transfer system inter-brokerage firms, so from one to another. So you'll just need to let him know you're doing that, and then they can initiate the transfer to whatever new institution you select. Thanks for calling today. I'm sorry to hear that this is going on, but I know you'll feel a lot better once you get it resolved. If we can help further, let us know. To Montana, hey, Russ, thanks for calling. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Earlier in the show, you had talked about the recommendation of for retirement being debt-free and having 80% of your current salary, I think times 10, I believe is what you said. My question is, does that change depending on retirement age, if it's 55, 65? Is that equation true for all ages when you retire?
Yeah, it is. And here's the idea is that once you stop working, the idea is if you have 10 to 12 times your pre-retirement income saved up, that amount, if you take out 4% a year plus Social Security, should equal about 80% of your pre-retirement income, which allows you to maintain your lifestyle, recognizing that a lot of expenses are going to come off the table. You're no longer saving for retirement. Hopefully the kids are off the payroll. Maybe the house is now paid for. You're less gas and clothing and, you know, that kind of thing. So again, that's a rule of thumb. But whenever you transition away from paid work to whatever God has for you next, if you have that 10 to 12 times your pre-retirement income plus Social Security, you should be able to maintain that lifestyle at a withdrawal rate that would allow you to keep that principal balance intact. Does that make sense?
Okay, that does make sense. And I guess let's just say it was like 55 or 60 before Social Security age. I guess there would need to be a cushion there because you don't have that.
Well, that's right. You'd have to either, have a higher withdrawal rate until you start taking Social Security because you want to let your Social Security grow 8% a year. And, that guaranteed 8% is better than what you might hope that would happen, with your investment portfolio. Or you would have an additional amount to cover that period of time, if you're retiring early.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for your call, Russ. We appreciate it. Let's see. We'll finish up in Louisiana today. Hey, Tony, how can I help you?
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I want to take the money out of a 401k to put into a Roth IRA because I don't want my daughter to take the tax hit. I would rather take the tax hit myself. She's been a really good daughter, and I want to make sure there's some money available so that she doesn't have to go through a whole lot of hoops and loops to get to it from the TSP.
I see.
I know I'm going to take...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Well, I know I'm going to take a tax hit for doing that, but... Yeah.
So you work for the federal government, or who was your employer?
I did work for the federal government, okay. And
you've separated? So, yeah. You're no longer working for the government?
Correct.
Okay, and how much do you have in that TSP? Tony?
Let's see. It's a generous amount. It's very generous. And okay. I would be able to live very well even after I get this minimal amount out.
Okay. Yeah. The only reason I'm asking how much is you may want to think about doing that over time because that Roth conversion is going to add all of that to your taxable income. So you may want to do that over multiple tax years just so you don't have a huge spike in your income in one tax year, which would push a portion of that up into a higher bracket, maybe a couple of brackets higher. So I would work with your CPA on that just to determine what's the appropriate schedule for you to transfer that money into a Roth. Maybe you decide to do it over three tax years or something like that. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense.
Okay, very good. Yeah. So what you'd do is roll that out to an IRA, and then you could work with your CPA to determine how quickly to roll or to convert that to a Roth IRA, and then just make sure your daughter's the named beneficiary on both the traditional and the Roth. Thanks for calling today, Tony. God bless you. Folks, we've covered a lot of ground today. It's always my privilege to come alongside you each day and talk about how we handle God's money. Just a quick reminder, if you're a stewardship coach, you help people in this area of stewardship, and you want to attend a webinar to improve your skills, especially around the discovery session, we'd love for you to attend the Institute for Christian Financial Health webinar next week. Find out more at faithfi.com/CCFC. Let me say thanks to my team today, Devin Patrick. Great to have Devin back in the producer spot. Pat Montague and Jim Henry couldn't do it without him. Thank you for being here as well. Have a great rest of your day. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.